What up, what up, what up? It is your girl, Kay Edie, the host of the Managing Chaos podcast, coming to you on this lovely Monday morning, depending on when you're listening to the podcast. Of course, the podcast does come out every Monday morning to kind of give you a little boost, a push, a nudge for your work week. Something that I've been thinking a lot about just over my career, but I guess I kind of circled back to these thoughts lately as I've been thinking about just the podcast and about different listeners and different teachers that I've been talking to over the past few weeks. I've been thinking about what makes classroom management work. What makes it go? What's the driving force? There are so many different schools of thought out there. You know, education, there's an answer for everything. But something that I've noticed is that there are specific principles that drive good classroom management. Something that someone told me that personality has a lot to do with the way a classroom is managed. And while I think that may have its place, I think it has a very small place. If we think about principle versus personality, from my experience, principle trumps personality. And so you can be an extrovert and have good classroom management. You could be an introvert and have good classroom management. You can be more melancholy and have good classroom management. You can be caloric and have good classroom management. So what I'm saying is, from what I have observed with my own classroom, with my own self, and with other teachers, as I have coached other teachers and mentored other teachers, personality has very little to do with classroom management. From what I have seen and what I've observed. And so we're going to hop into that. Of course, there is a principle for everything. We're talking education. There's always a principle. There's always a rule. There's always something out there. But for the purposes of the Managing Chaos podcast, I'm sharing what I have seen throughout my career. And the three pillars, principles, whatever you want to call it, of classroom management. The three principles that I've noticed that have worked for myself every single year, no matter the classroom, no matter the kids, no matter the class size, no matter the assistant, no matter anything, these three principles have helped me to manage my classroom, manage the chaos in my classroom, so that I am not going home tired, overwhelmed, drained above what I should be drained. Of course, you go to work at a job, you may come home a little tired, but something that I've been hearing lately is that teachers are just burnt out. And yes, there are other factors, but a lot of teachers are fed up with the behaviors of students and just the way things go throughout the day. And so while there are other supports that should be offered at a school, the reality is that we have to be able to thrive and encourage ourselves in our classroom. And the way that I have done that successfully over the past however many years that I've taught, over a decade for sure, but over my career, the way that I have survived and thrived because I'm still in the classroom, by giving my students the parameters. But those parameters are not a replacement for underlying principles that are necessary for all students to thrive. And so the first principle that I think every teacher is hyper aware of course, would be the principle of relationship building. So when we build relationships with students, we know that that is the connecting point. They love us, they know that we love them, and then ta-da! They are able to learn and push through other barriers when they can know and feel the love. So relationship is, you know, classroom best practices in the classroom 101, you know, building that relationship, the rapport at the beginning of the year, the games with the Skittles and the four corners in the room, all of those fun, cutesy, I'll call them tactics. All of those tactics and strategies are things that help build relationships with our students so that they can connect and thrive and learn in our classroom environment. The second principle Of course, if you have been in education for any amount of time, you know that there's always a new word for an old thing. And so I like to call it the principle of release. And so that is a fancy way of just saying student engagement. So after you have built a relationship, and of course, during that relationship building time, you're doing those practical things like giving the expectations and setting the boundaries and explicitly teaching rules and procedures. But after that, the release speaks to the idea that you are now trusting students enough to release them into active learning throughout the day. So that may look like your small groups. That may look like your students getting into book clubs, student-led book clubs, that is. That may look like you doing a hands-on technology activity where kids are utilizing technology. It may look like having kids use the smart board to teach other students. Whatever you do in your classroom, having the ability to release your students is a principle that I have found that just changes the whole trajectory of your day, your school year, because kids want to have fun. They want to feel like they are quote unquote in charge. And of course they are definitely not in charge. but we can give them that feel, that illusion, even if you will, that they are in charge by releasing them to actively engage in their learning. And the teacher kind of takes the backseat, kind of takes that facilitator role, and students come forward. And that's something that I found that my kids in school environments, my Title I schools that are, you know, in the hood, if you will, and my students at private school, they all have thrived when they have been able to be released to actively engage in lessons without, you know, the teacher standing over them. The last principle that I want to talk about today, so we talked about relationship, we talked about release. Last but not least, probably one of my favorites, probably every teacher's favorite, is reprieve. And so reprieve is just that idea of rest, that idea of a break. And so just like us teachers need reprieve after school, we want to like run away from the school, not because you don't love the art of teaching, but because you want to now get onto your life outside of work. I get it. I do it every day. And so I understand. But just like we want reprieve and rest, our students do too. And so the principle that I found that has been probably most helpful for me is the reprieve. That is those brain breaks that you provide in the classroom for students throughout the day. As they are learning, their brains get tired. And then that's when you see the decline in behaviors, the decline in just even the basic procedures that have been set. Because let's face it, even as adults, when we're tired, we have a tendency to forget things. And so children, students, they are the same way. So I intentionally schedule brain breaks throughout my day in my classroom. I actually have a timer that goes off on my cell phone. And there was some research that I listened to and that I was reading centered around planks. The exercise, like having students do planks, and how somehow it gets their brains, you know, flowing again. And so we have plank breaks in my classroom as a brain break, a time of reprieve. And that just looks like me setting a timer and letting them plank it out. We started off at 30 minutes. We start off at 30 seconds, excuse me, and now we're up to 1 minute. And that's just kind of student-led. I let them tell me, okay, we want to plank for a minute and a half today, and we give it a try. It's fun. It resets them. It gives them that reprieve. Something else that we do, we use Go Noodle. We use YouTube. We just type in brain breaks. Anything that is going to be of interest to your kids. Honestly, every now and again, I set a timer on the board for 3 minutes and I let my kids just talk. They literally go sit next to their friends and talk. That reprieve gives them a chance to re-up for the rest of the day. So they're ready to face the day, ready to face their learning, and they don't feel burned out for the day. And so I think those are the three very, 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 very basic principles, but the three principles that have worked over and over and over again. And so if you are listening to this podcast as an educator on a Monday morning heading to work, which I hope you are, or if you're listening at any time, I challenge you to, you know, evaluate, reflect. Do I have a relationship with my students? If you don't, it's never too late to start. And then reflect on whether or not you have trusted your students enough to release them into some active learning. If you want more strategies for that, of course, reach out to me. My email is linked in the comments, in the summary for the podcast. My email is there, so you can always email. I have lots and lots and lots of ideas, so feel free to reach out. It's not like a charge or anything. It's just, you know, two teachers chatting it up. And then last but not least, feel free to try that idea of reprieve. Give a brain break. Give some sort of reprieve for students and yourself. Guys, here's the secret. When my students have this reprieve, I actually just sit and stare at them. I don't do anything, or I do much of nothing. I may turn on the smart board for them, but I have trained them, yes, trained them to to lead their brain breaks at this point in the year, because it's the end of the school year. And that gives me reprieve, and that gives me the energy to keep going. And so I hope that you have the best day, the best week. You are an educator, not just a teacher. You rock. You manage chaos day in and day out. And hopefully some of these principles will help you to manage it a little better, so that you are the best educator that you can be. Peace.